Blog Talk Radio.
You know, church has become so commercial until we have gotten away from its true purpose. It has become such big business until we allow people to operate and function as long as they have something to bring to the table. People are now more concerned about recording and living in life of the rich and famous rather than knowing Jesus. But the true purpose of the church is soul business, not big business. I don't know about you, but I would rather have nothing and know Jesus than to have everything and not know Him. You need to confess Him today.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Light of Portland broadcast with Pastor Kimberly Black from Greater St. Stephen Missionary Baptist Church in Portland, Oregon. Do you know Jesus? Did you know He could live in your heart if you invite Him in? After the next song you hear, prepare to be blessed of the Lord. Prepare for a move of Holy Spirit. Prepare to know Jesus in your heart.
I don't think anybody would argue with me if I said that we are living in tough, trying, turbulent times. There's trouble and problems everywhere we go. It's trouble in the finances. Many of us have more months than we do money. Many of us who made investments in a 401k is now a 201F. We're dealing with hostile husbands and disobedient daughters and wayward wives, and sometimes it makes us want to pull out our hair and say, how are we going to make it out of this mess? All of us have asked that proverbial question, how am I going to make it? How am I going to get by? And the answer comes back to every single generation. Six little words. The just shall live by faith. Faith is what's going to take you out of every circumstance. Faith is getting ready to take you out of every... Oh, come on, somebody. I dare you to stand on your feet and just tell somebody next to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen by faith. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord. It's going to happen by faith.
I feel a blessing.
Walk in the Spirit. With today's trying times and all that we're going through, we need to truly walk in the Spirit. Good evening, good evening, and good evening. Thank you so very much for tuning in to the Light of Portland broadcast. I am Pastor Sherelle Pennington. I am live here in Atlanta, Georgia. And I am honored, I am elated to be with you tonight. I pray that you have had a blessed, 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 blessed evening. And your week has truly been a week that you have really spent time with the Lord. And I'm taking my time with it because we are in the season of Lent, thanks of God. And for those of you that don't know, Lent is the 40 days from the time that Jesus prepared for the cross all the way to his resurrection. And so we want to really take the time to think about our growth, think about the things that have inspired us, think about the things that have challenged us this year, to think about all those things that have made us who we are and allow it to grow us and fill us and mature us, because we are in a season where time is going so quickly and things are happening so fast that we may not take the time to grow spiritually with the things that we are going through. So we've got to take a time, step back, look at it, and really, really allow the Spirit to really mature in us and saturate us and fill us. And so I am excited to be with you on the Light of Portland broadcast. It has been some time since you all have heard from me, so I'm glad that we're here. I have one announcement for us this evening before we go into a song and a prayer. We are about to have a 24-hour prayer. Everybody knows that prayer changes things, and Tabernacle of Faith with Bishop Francis Mills has laid before the Lord, and he has unctioned her to do our second Chronicles team and to pray without ceasing for a 24-hour period here in Atlanta, Georgia. But you know that with technology, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what time zone you're in, you can participate in prayer because your family, it needs prayer, your worked up employees and co-workers need prayer, your church family needs prayer, our government needs prayer, our teachers need prayer, our police officers need prayer. We need to be praying that change would happen, that Holy Spirit would infiltrate and really saturate people
and turn them into people of God. We need to be praying and fasting and seeking the face of God. And so if you would like to participate in our prayer, our 24-hour prayer on tomorrow, and I want to look at this calendar clock. It starts tomorrow, Monday, and it goes all the way into Tuesday. And so if you would like to participate in prayer, whoever invited you onto the Light of Portland broadcast, contact them, send them an email, get in touch with them and say, hey, can you send me the information so that I can pray and be a part of the prayer line? And we will get you that information and send you the link. It's a live link. We only have 5 slots left for prayer. So we really, really, really want you to get out there if you have not signed up and sign up. So just get in touch with either Pastor Black or myself or whoever invited you to the Light of Portland broadcast, and we will get that information out to you via email or text message so that you can sign up and begin to pray with us so that we can make a difference and an impact. Because, you know, for one church, saints, one church, one body, united together. So we have got to start learning how to come together as one. And so tonight we have a very special person coming to minister the word of God, and we also have someone that is praying for us in the word of God tonight. And so we want to welcome our very own Pastor Beth Schneibel. She is a woman of God that is on fire for the Lord. Her and her husband, Apostle, and he and she are just the dynamic duo, I would call them. And so I'm really excited to have them with us tonight, or have her with us tonight, to bring the word of God for us, Miss Lady Beth. And then for our prayer, our intercessory prayer, you know, I think that's so very important. For our intercessory prayer is Elder Bruce Mitchell that is going to come before us. He's from Fresno, California, and he is going to lead us and usher us into the throne of God. So we're going to have a short song, and following that song, the next voice that you would hear would be that of Elder Bruce Mitchell. And then following prayer will be our very own Lady Beth Schreiber. Amen. Thank you, saints of God.
See, the devil, he He learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keeps you in cycles. 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 But I'm not going in cycles.
Your name, for you are great and you're great to be praised, Father God. We thank you tonight Father, for being a part of this call with us tonight, God. We thank you for coming in and supping with us tonight, God. We lift you up right now, oh God, because you're awesome, Father God. You're mighty and you're magnificent, and we give you glory and honor, Father. We come now just repenting, Father, asking your forgiveness for sins known and unknown, oh God. And then we come now, Father God, just lifting up this broadcast, Father God, Light of Portland, Father God, and this family that is there tonight, Father God. We thank you for them, Father God, and we thank you what you're doing in the life of Light of Portland, God. We thank you for these mighty warriors that stand in the gap week after week, Pastor Sherelle and Pastor Black, God. We give you glory and honor for what they're doing, Father God, and we ask that you'll continue, God, to strengthen them, Father God, for the work is much, Father God, but we know it's little in your hand, oh God. And so tonight, as we pray, Father God, for our nation, Father God, as we pray for those, Father God, in need, God, we begin tonight just praying for the home, God. We pray, Father God, that your strength would be over the home, God, that you, Father God, will continue to watch over, God, the family, oh God, the husband, the wife, Father God, the children, Father God, that you, God, will continue, Father God, to lead and guide our families, Father God. We need you right now, God, more than ever, oh God. We need you, Father God, to show us direction, Father God, that we, Father God, would be attentive to your word, God, that we would study to show ourselves approved, oh God, that we, God, would continue with the values and the statutes, Father God, that you gave us as a family, Father God, to run our homes, oh God, to be obedient, Father God, to your word, oh God. So tonight, as we pray for the home, Father God, we pray, Father God, for that structure that you gave us, oh God. We pray tonight, Father God, for leadership, Father God, the head of the household, God. We pray for that mother and that father, God. We pray for the influence, Father God, that you've given the home, the family, Father God. And we pray, Father God, for our children, Father God, that, Father God, that they would be led in a way that would be pleasing unto you in the name of Jesus. We also pray tonight, Father God, for our churches, oh God, that you, God, will continue, Father God, to give us direction. You will continue, Father God, to lead us, Father God, how to be a church, oh God, that even in this turbulent time, Father God, that we would understand, Father God, that there's still your structure, oh God, that we would understand, Father God, whether it be the building, Father God, or virtual, Father God, that you have an order, God, that you are leading us and guiding us, Father God. We don't want to get to the point, Father God, where we're missing the mark, oh God, as a church, Father God, in these turbulent times. But God, that we would follow the church, Father God. We would follow the pastor, oh God. We would, Father, follow the doctrines of the church, God. We would not get off beat, oh God, but that we would understand, Father God, that we're still the church, oh God, and that we still have a voice to stand strong, especially in turbulent times, God. So we pray tonight, Father God, for the church, oh God, the order, the structure. We pray for the pastor and the ministry leaders, the fivefold ministry, oh God. We pray, Father God, for order throughout the church, oh God. We pray tonight, Father God, that offerings in each and every church, Father God, would be pleasing unto you, oh God. We pray tonight for the church, oh God, that healing, Father God, would continue to take place in the church, oh God. Whether it be virtual, Father God, or those that are coming into the church, we pray and stand in agreement, God, that healing would go forth, because by your stripes, oh God, we know that that's where the healing comes forth, oh God. We pray, Father God, that the church, Father God, would have sound doctrine preached, oh God, that direction, Father God, would be key as we follow in the name of Jesus, oh God. We pray tonight also, Father God, for our communities, oh God. For, Father, there's so much going on in these days, oh God, that we need those that stand in the gap for the communities, the prayer warriors, Father God. We pray tonight, oh God, that they would be on alert, God, on high alert, Father. We pray tonight, God, that angels would stand guard throughout the community, God, that they would be posted in their right positions, in their right proper places, oh God. We pray tonight, Father God, that the watchmen will continue to watch over the communities, God, that their voices, Father God, would be fulfilled in this season, God, that they would not veer to the left or to the right, Father God, but they would stand and speak exactly what you said, just like Ezekiel did, oh God. We pray, Father God, that community would not lose hope in the name of Jesus. We stand in agreement tonight with this pandemic, Father God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God. We stand in agreement that those who have lost their lives in this, we pray wholeheartedly for them, Father God. We pray for the families, Father God, that have been affected by those that have lost their lives, Father God. And we pray, Father God, for this vaccine that has been set before us, Father God, that it would be effective, Father God. We counsel the assignment of the enemy. We come against those that have plotted and planned, Father God, for destruction with this, God. And we decree and declare that it shall fulfill the purpose for which it has been set here for. We pray, Father God, that we will not let our guard down, Father God, concerning leadership, concerning this vaccine, Father God. We pray for our president, our vice president, and all the way down the line for those that you've appointed, Father God, to be a part of the leadership team dealing with it. We cover them right now, Father God. Cover their minds, Father God. Cover their strength, Father God. Cover their direction in the name of Jesus. And then we come against any opposition, Father God, that may try to come against not only the vaccine, but to come against your children, those that you have called according to your purpose, Father God. We pray now, Father God, that we would be alert, Father God, that our minds would be regulated and strong and straight during this season, God, that we, God, would keep our eyes open. We would be sober, vigilant, Father God, and prepared, Father God, for what is coming, Father God. Oh, God, we thank you tonight, Father God. We thank you for alert intercessors. We thank you for pastors after our own heart, Father God, your own heart, God. We thank you, Father God, for children that are following in obedience, oh, God. We thank you for those that are in community standing strong, Father God, for the word of God and for the ministry of God. Oh, God, how we love you, Father, how we praise you. Have we give you glory and honor on this day, Father God. Now, as the word is prepared to come forth, God, we pray for the woman of God that will bring the word, God. We pray for strength tonight, Father God. We pray that the Holy Spirit would cover her and keep her, give her strength as she brings this word. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We give God glory, honor, and praise. And so next that we have is time for the word. We're excited to have the word of God tonight. And so it is our very own Lady Beth Schneibel. Are you with us, Lady Beth?
Hi. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, ma'am.
Praise God.
I turned the broadcast on now.
I was on the other phone, and my husband, thankfully, had his phone on, and his was working, and mine wouldn't, crazily enough. But here we are anyhow. Praise God. So, hallelujah. I was just saying that I just thank God for being such a good God. No matter what's going on in our lives today, God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. God is still above it all. Hallelujah. God is still the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. The name Jesus is above every name, and everything that comes against us has to bow down to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter what situations may arise in life, in this nation, it don't make no difference because Jesus is the Christ. Hallelujah. So I was thinking about, you know, all the things that are going on today with, you know, I know a lot of folks that are just bogged down and stressed out and distressed and depressed and all these different things, and they don't know what to do with themselves. They don't know how to cope. They don't know how to get through you know, get through the day or get through life even. You know, the looking at the what the world is calling the new normal. You know, I've said many, many times that our new normal should be the same normal that we Christians already had, the same normal that would make us lift our heads in the midst of a crisis, the same normal that would have us calling on Jesus no matter what was coming against us, that same normal that we could praise in the midst of any situation and know that would be the pivotal point, the turning point, if you will. Hallelujah. So anyhow, so the big old question, I guess, is what do you do when things, when life becomes overwhelming, when circumstances have us so bogged down and nothing seems to make a difference? You might feel like you've lost hope. You might feel defeated, depressed, distressed, full of anxiety and dread. Talk about having a bad day. How about a bad several days, a bad several months or several years? People speak of peace, and others might come back and say, peace? What do you mean peace? What is this peace you talk about? Hallelujah. But, you know, when we've got Jesus, we've got the answer. Hallelujah. When we know him, we've got the answer. We have the keys. Hallelujah. So we'll start with Psalms 5:11, and this is out of the Amplified Classic Version. So it starts out and it says, but let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous, him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you will surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. And then I want to drop down to Psalms 9:9. It says, the Lord also will be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed, a refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble, high cost, destitution, and desperation. And they who know your name, who have experience and acquaintance with your mercy, will lean on and confidently put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek, inquire of, and for you on the authority of God's word and the right of their necessity. So I believe he's saying that if we know him, we can always turn to him and know that he's got our back. So I was looking at a little story that we find also in Psalms, and it's a little short story, but it's in Psalms 137, verses 1 through 4. By the rivers of Babylon, we captives sat down. Yes, we wept when we earnestly remembered Zion, the city of our God imprinted on our hearts. And on the willow trees in the midst of Babylon, we hung our harps. For there, they who led us captive required of us a song with words, and our tormentors and they who wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, ain't that a good question? I think a lot of people might feel like today they're living in a strange land. I know when I first moved to Portland, this is just a little story about Beth here. When I moved to Portland, Oregon from eastern Kentucky, it was a culture shock. I'm from this little bitty tiny small town, you know, in Kentucky. It's one of those little towns where everybody knows everybody else. Everybody knows everybody's business. And, you know, you go in Walmart, you're in there like an hour because you know everybody coming and going. And you got to stop and talk about, you know, uncle and aunt and cousin and all these different things. But then, you know, I moved out here and there's like a quadrillion people, you know, and it's totally different from anything I'd ever experienced. You know, I'd never really been that far away from home. And it was just such a culture shock. And it took me a minute, you know, to really start calling this place home, you know, because it was different in the aspect, you know, in Kentucky I was doing Southern gospel, and then here, you know, me and my husband, Apostle Matt, we do praise and worship, and we're just really, you know, bringing people into the presence of God. That's, you know, that's our goal. And so it was just so different from what I was used to, so it took me a minute. So I definitely felt like I was in a strange land, didn't know what to do with myself. But back to the story that we were just reading. So we're reading a story in Psalms about when the Jews were taken into captivity by the Babylonians. And you know that the Israelites were all about worshiping God, singing, dancing. But we read that it obviously was a sad, sad day. They had stopped to rest by the Euphrates River. All along the banks of the river were willow trees. And in their grief and despair, they hung their harps upon the branches of these trees. They were thinking, why carry these things around with us? We feel certain that we will never be happy and joyous again. How could we possibly in this mess? Then to beat it all, their captives, this is crazy, their captives wanted them to sing a song. Sing, can you imagine? Sing and play for us, you worshipers of God. That's what you do. So why aren't you doing it? It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. Your harps are in tune. So what's the problem? Of course, the children of Zion were stunned at this request. How could we possibly sing here? We're in captivity. We had been driven out of our homes, our land. How could you even suggest such a thing? We have nothing to be singing about. So not loving my life right now. No way. I have no energy left to even strum out half a note, let alone sing a song. Now talk about depressed. These folks were depressed. And who could blame them? Not me. You know that they must have felt lost, hopeless, maybe even abandoned by God, not knowing how would they get out of this mess, not knowing when. Can you imagine? I can just see them right now, you know, feeling so hopeless and so destitute, not knowing what tomorrow's going to bring. And then in the midst of it all, here's the enemy. And they just like the enemy to say, yeah, you're supposed to be worshipers. You're supposed to be praising your God. Do it now, you know. You're supposed to be a big old Christian. You're supposed to be praising the Lord, you know, playing your music, singing a little tune, doing a little jig. But I bet you're sitting there, you know, on your rumps. I don't understand. You know, you're supposed to be like my example. So what are you doing? You know, I can just see the enemy now just taunting them. And don't you feel like sometimes that the enemy just likes to taunt you? That the enemy is saying, yeah, what you going to do? Where's your God now? What are you going to do now? Look what's going on in the world. Look what's going on in your family. Look what's going on in your life. Look what's going on all around you. What are you going to do now? Thought you was going to worship God. I can just see him now. It's so like the devil to just try to throw these things in your face, you know, and people are just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know how to find peace. I don't know how to get joy. I don't know. I just don't know. So, you know, I think a lot of us out there can relate a little bit. You know, you might not be in captivity in Babylon, but some people might feel like they're in captivity here in Portland, you know, there in Atlanta, wherever you might be listening tonight. Do you ever feel like you're so down that you just don't know if you could ever get back up? So depressed, so trodden down, just not happy, not joyous. Seems like you're a captive to this feeling. There's no way to cheer up. Everything is useless. You feel defeated. You know that you shouldn't feel this way, but you just do. You know, you hear people say, cheer up, pray, rejoice. Your hope is in Christ. Don't be ruled by your feelings. But how do you really do it? A lot of people really struggle with joy or rather lack thereof. Seems like one day they're jumping up and down full of joy and loving God, but the next time you see them, they're almost crawling just to get to the couch. What happened? Some say life. Life happened. It's raining today, and they're so It's just so depressing. They can't get up, can't come to church because I might get wet. My umbrella's broken. I have a headache. He probably hates me today because I said a cuss word yesterday. Just talking about the Lord. You know, a lot of people are like that. You know, you do one little thing wrong and you think that the Lord just hates you. Lots of situations come. It's just life. Life happens. You know, it's just so easy to just wallow around in a puddle of grief. You know, you hear that old song, gloom, doom, despair, and agony, that, you know, that God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to be able to, in the midst of anything, to not get distracted. How does that even work? Well, I love the scripture in Hebrews 12:2 that says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. You know, I preach that all the time. You know, what has got you so distracted? What are you looking at that has you blinded to Jesus and what he can do, the things he's already done for you? You know, I like to look back sometimes at the things that he's already done, and just, you know, the amazement of the things that he's already done. To think that I can't get through today or tomorrow, looking at who Jesus is and all that he's done for me, all that he's done for you, all that he's done for us. You know, we look at him and we have to realize he's our answer. You know, it's so easy, like I said, to get bogged down by circumstances, to get bogged down by all the things that are going on, you know, and all the things that are happening, and all the things that, you know, that we're so, you know, afraid of. I know a lot of people right now are really dealing with fear and anxiety, you know, but the Lord didn't give us the spirit of fear. That comes from Satan himself. The Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And we can look to him, hallelujah, in the midst of it all. If we'll just turn our eyes away from the situation, you know, a lot of things go on, yeah, but how easy is it if we could just fix our gaze onto the heavens, fix our gaze onto the face of Jesus, fix our gaze onto him, you know, and know that he is our answer. You know, a lot of folks, you know, and you might not play a harp, hello, but I mean metaphorically, you know, if you have hung your harp upon the willow tree, today is the day to take it down. Maybe your tree is a tree of guilt. Maybe your tree is a tree of depression. Maybe your tree is a tree of sadness. Maybe your tree is a tree of worthlessness. Maybe a tree of loneliness. Take your harps off that tree and look toward the tree of Calvary, because on that tree we can hang our hope, our salvation. Jesus gave it all for you, to have relationship with you. Lift your voice and sing a song for him, for he is our answer. He is our refuge, that great wall of Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalms 46, this is so good. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable to temptation, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas, though its water roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. The nations raged, the kingdoms tottered and were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our fortress, and high tower. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow into pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Let be and be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, our high tower and stronghold. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that he's our refuge, that we can run to him in our time of trouble, that we can run to him when things are going astray, that we can run to him and look to him in the midst of it all. When we take our focus off of everything that's going crazy, when we take our focus off of all of the little things that are happening, when we look to him instead of the situation, when we look to him in the midst of it all, that's when we're going to see our breakthrough. That's when we're going to start feeling victorious instead of defeated. That's when we're going to start seeing the salvation of God, when we start seeing Jesus being enthroned, hallelujah, in the midst of us, hallelujah, when we see that he is bigger than any other thing, hallelujah, that's when we know that he's got it. That he's got it. Hallelujah. That I don't have to worry about if I've got it or not, because if he's got it, then that's all that needs to happen. If I give it to him, when I cast all my cares onto him, he's the one that's got big enough hands to hold it. Hallelujah. When I feel like things are slipping through my fingers, I can toss it all to Jesus and know that he's got it. I know that his shoulders are big enough to carry my load. Hallelujah. I know that he's the one that can move mountains, hallelujah. I don't have to worry about trying to climb up the mountain when I can give it to Jesus and I can say to the mountain, be thou removed, and it's going to crumble in front of my face, hallelujah. I don't have to sing that old song, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. I don't have to sing that anymore because I've quit climbing up the rough side of the mountain when I know that now I can speak to that mountain, hallelujah, because I understand there's power in my words. What are you saying today about your situation? What are you saying today about your circumstance? What are you saying today about the things going on? Are you saying I can't make it one more second? Or are you saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Hallelujah. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I don't have any strength in myself, but if I give it to God, he's got it. If I look to him in the midst of all the situations, I know that I'm victorious. Hallelujah. Because he already paid the price. Hallelujah. He already did it for me. Hallelujah. He already did it for you. Hallelujah. And I praise his mighty name. Praise his mighty name, because he is the all in all. Whew. He's everything I need, hallelujah. He's everything you need, hallelujah. No matter what you're going through today, Jesus is your answer. No matter what you're going through tomorrow, Jesus is the answer. No matter what you're going to face next week, Jesus is already there preparing a way for you to get there in world peace. Hallelujah. He's already declared you're going to make it to the other side, child of God. He's already declared you're going to make it to the other side. Praise your mighty name, Jesus. Woo! Yes, I get excited. I won't apologize about it because he's such a good God, and he makes me want to jump, hallelujah. He makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Woo! When I look to him, praise God. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Isn't that a great statement? Whew. What are you drawing nigh to? Are you drawing nigh to your situation? Are you drawing nigh to all the circumstances? Or are you drawing nigh to God? Hallelujah. Are you drawing nigh to God? Because if you are, he's drawing nigh to you. Isn't it great that he's just one breath away? Whew. I can say the name Jesus, and he's right there, hallelujah. I can say the name Jesus, and I know he's with me. I can say the name Jesus, and he's here, hallelujah, in the midst of it all. He is my refuge, hallelujah. He is my tower, hallelujah. Whew. And we just need to learn in the midst of it all, if we look away from all the distress, and start worshiping him in the middle of it. People might think you're crazy when they see you going through a thing and you're standing there worshiping God. That's okay. That's okay. He said that we are called the peculiar bunch, and I believe it. Hallelujah. That's okay. We can be peculiar because I don't want to fit in. I don't want to fit. He didn't call us to fit in. He called us to be set apart. Are you set apart tonight in the way that people experience you? Are they looking at you saying, I want more of what you got? I want to be more like you. Or are they looking at you and running in the other direction? Now, that's a question. I know this woman in Kentucky that she just, always seemed so full of God. I didn't understand it at that time. She always was the same no matter when I seen her, what was going on, what was happening. She was just always just the same, always peaceful, always full of joy, seemed like. And I asked her one day, I'm like, how do you do that? Because I was curious. I didn't know. And she said, I just surround myself with Jesus. And I thought about that, and I looked at her life, and I thought, okay, what's she doing different than I am? And I know she was listening to praise and worship music all the time. She was in the Word all the time. And it just, to me, she was such, not really a role model. Well, I guess she kind of was a role model. But I just knew that she had something that I didn't have, and I wanted that. So my question tonight to all of y'all listening, you know, when people look at you, do they want what you have? This is a serious question. Do they want what you have, or are they looking at you and seeing you have a meltdown in the middle of Walmart? Are they looking at you and seeing you have a meltdown because of the things that's going on in the nation? You know, are they seeing you have a breakdown because of you know, the shutdown, the lockdowns, and the virus and all the different things that are happening? You know, are they looking at you and seeing the opposite of what God created you to be? Because God created you to be victorious. God created you to be above it all. Hallelujah. And I think that through worship, I know that through worship we can, you know, really see a difference. Through worship we can realign our priorities with His, acknowledging Him as Lord of our lives. Worship is a form of surrender. It's impossible to worship God and anything else at the same time. It is all or nothing. We need to gain an attitude of worship where we can quiet our spirit and mind and just focus solely and entirely on His majesty, His glory, His awesomeness. It's an attitude of the heart, because God sees the heart. Regardless of what other people may see you do, on the outside, just lifting your hands with the rest of the crowd in a service maybe, may not mean very much, but when God sees the real you, seeking Him, seeking His presence, losing yourself in the magnitude of Him, when He sees your heart and realizes that you're lost in the moment, that nothing else matters, that's His desire. He deserves sincere and heartfelt worship. In that reality, you will know that He is truly worthy, truly amazing, and nothing else matters but Him. Having an encounter with Him and being in a state of mind where nothing else exists in that moment, at the magnitude of Him, to totally surrender everything, every thought, every fear, every doubt, every worry, and getting caught up in the splendor of His excellence where nothing else matters but Him. Your focus is solely on the Creator of the universe and His glory. No words could ever begin to describe His holiness. It is enough to leave you completely wrecked on the floor in a puddle of tears. No words are needed in that moment, just Him. Woo! So I'm decided I'm going to draw nigh to God so he can draw near or draw nigh to me. It's such a great promise. We cry out for more of you, Lord, more of you, Lord. Less of me and more of you. This is our desire, Lord, for the more of you. And when we realize this, that the only thing that matters is you, Lord, all the worries of the day just melt away in your presence. What an incredible, incredible thing. All of us need more of God. And so we continually seek his face. For in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Woo. I guess that's probably all I have to say, Pastor Sherelle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we have, so, you know, you're refreshing because you are always so excited about your love for the Lord. You're always excited about what God is allowing you to share with us. And we all need to have that kind of zeal, that kind of excitement, because it'll carry us through our challenges,
yes,
through our ups and our downs. And we've got to remember, like you said, that no matter what, God is there.
Mm-hmm.
And all we got to do is lean to him, trust him, and believe that he is going to do whatever it is that we need to have done, and praise him in the midst of it all.
Amen. That's
Amen.
The key. That's the key. Praising him anyhow. Woo! Praising
anyhow.
Anyhow.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
And we just want to thank the Butterfields for providing us with this platform. We want to thank you for the word of God that you brought forth today. I hope it ignites the fire in those that have been listening today. We want to give honor and thanks to Elder Mitchell for our prayer, for our dynamic prayer that he brought forth this evening, and to Pastor Black, yes, who is presiding over the broadcast now. And so we are so honored to have each and every one of you that have tuned in to the broadcast. And I hope that all that Lady Beth has preached this evening just really excites you in the Lord, excites you, gives you some anticipation for what God is about to do in your life, because he's doing great and marvelous things. And then I want to remind you that we are beginning prayer tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. and going all the way until Tuesday, 6 a.m. And so we want you to sign up for prayer. So get in contact with Pastor Black or myself so that we can send you the link so that you can join us in prayer. We pray that the Lord would bless you. We pray that the Lord would keep you. We pray that the Lord would make his face to shine upon you, lifting his countenance unto you and giving you both now and forevermore. Thank you so much for the word of God tonight, Lady Beth. Thank you, Father God, for allowing it to prick our hearts and excite us in you. Thank you, Elder Mitchell, for the word of prayer that you gave us tonight. And thank you, you and you, for tuning in tonight. And we hope that you join us next Sunday evening, same time, same number. And we pray that the Lord will shine upon you tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, have an excellent evening. Be blessed. Good night.